Yeah, I think I've always kind of had an attraction to it. You know, I don't know if you're ever born to be anything, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you seem to be attracted to one thing or another. And ever since I was a kid, I've grown up listening to music, you know, because my brother, my older brother, used to always have records around the house. And so, you know, I always enjoyed listening to that, and I just kind of grew into it. Yeah, really, you know, when I was a kid, I just really enjoyed it. I never really dreamed that I'd be doing, you know, doing this. But then as time went on and I got more interested in it and started to play, then it, obviously it became a dream, and now it's all happening. In some ways, you know, some of the good things about it. But of course, as with anything, there are certain things that make it work, you know. So it's a good combination of the two, though. We're having fun. It really comes from all the bands that we grew up listening to. You know, the hard rock bands that we really like are like Van Halen, Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, Queen. You know, so as far as our style, you know, like a lot of the funky stuff comes from like the Aerosmith type grooves or Led Zeppelin. And, you know, as far as having a big variety of styles of music, you know, we don't only play hard rock and funk. We have a lot of variety. So bands like Queen and bands like the Beatles, who used to, you know, do any types of styles of music, that's where we get that influence from, that, you know, that theory that you can really put anything on your record as long as you do it, then, you know, why have any boundaries? Well, some songs are harder than others because you got to separate what you're playing and what you're singing, because they're two different things, different timings, different melodies. So it just takes a while to get comfortable doing two things at the same time. I guess it's like walking and chewing gum or something. You know, it's something that has to finally become subconscious. You know, you can't really think about what you're doing, both things. Both of them kind of have to happen naturally, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Your personal life is the thing that suffers the most because, you know, now we live out on the road. We've been on the road for like the last 2 years. And when we weren't on the road, we were, you know, in another state making a record. So, you know, you miss your family and your friends, and you never really feel like you have a home because you're always living in hotels. You know, that's the tough part, you know, everything else is great, but that's the one hard thing. You know, for every good, I guess there has to be a bad in life. Oh, absolutely, yeah. We and our crew, we've been together with the same road crew since our club days, you know, and they're all friends. And as far as the band goes, we are the four original guys that grew up playing the clubs together in Boston. And we worked hard and over time, and, you know, with some luck too, you know, we've gotten to where we are now. And, you know, we all feel a tight bond because we were all there at the beginning and we all worked together to get where we are now. Not my only priority, but as far as it's definitely, you know, my biggest passion, you know. Of course, you know, my home, you know, your family and friends are another important thing in your life. So that, you know, as I said before, that end of it kind of suffers sometimes. But, you know, there'll be time to share with everybody too. It's just that right now we're so busy doing this that it's definitely a priority. It comes first. Well, I think a lot of the heavier stuff we do, it's more aggressive, but a lot of the messages are positive, or at least, you know, I don't think we're caught in the rut of singing about, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll all the time. We have other things to talk about, you know. Gary, being the lyricist, has some pretty interesting ways of saying things that he observes around him. So I think, yeah, we definitely have something to say, you know. It's not your typical, you know, I love you, you love me. once in a while, you know, that's okay, singing love songs, you know, because that's part of life, but that's not all there is to life, you know. Well, you know, I don't know if it's so much a duty or whatever. I mean, that's, I think it is an important thing that people should be more conscious of, because people are continually giving negative messages to the audience. And most of the audience is, you know, the future of, you know, it's a lot of kids and adolescents and teenagers and people who are going to be this world's future, you know. So if you keep giving them these negative messages, then, you know, they listen to their favorite bands or their favorite artists a lot more than their parents or their teachers or, you know, other authority figures. So, you know, you got to have some sort of conscience when you're promoting, you know, some things people sing about. I mean, you know, singing about drugs and alcohol and unsafe sex, you know, that's just asking for trouble with, you know, trying to promote that to kids. So gotta have some sort of conscience, I guess. Oh, definitely, you know, especially it becomes your way of life, because music is the reason why we're doing what we do. You know, that's like our passport to go to all these countries, to experience all these things that normally I never would have dreamed I'd come to all these places, you know, before. And to keep ourselves healthy enough to play the show that, you know, to perform the way we want to do every night, then it makes you change your way of life, you know. So we're very conscious of our health and stuff, you know. Well, I think some bands seem to pull it off still with the old sex, drugs, rock and roll thing, you know. I think people, though, are becoming a lot more aware of, you know, that was in the past, the whole 60s and 70s, you know, lifestyle when everybody was just out of control. I think people are now a little bit more responsible, and you know, in a way too, that, you know, business has become a big part of music, you know, that it's really changed the way music sounds, and the type of what music that gets on the radio has to be a certain length, or has to, you know, if the first chorus doesn't come in within the first minute, or, you know, radio programmers don't want to hear it. So the business end of it has become such a big part of it. It's changed a lot of the way people write songs and the lifestyles people live, you know. Oh, yeah, I think everybody has a lot of different emotions or different sides to them. So I think it's all kind of expressed in our music somewhere. You know, Gary being the lyricist who he writes about all the things that goes on around him. I think he incorporates some of each of us into the lyrics, things he observes about us all, you know, and about whatever, you know, he sees on TV or whatever else, you know. You are what you eat. Yeah, definitely. That's why everybody can relate to it, you know. Even little babies or little kids, you know, you see them singing along words that they don't even understand what they mean. It's just kind of, it can kind of captivate you. Well, you know, most of what we see traveling are what we see out of the bus window when we're traveling down the highway, you know. Or if you have a day off, you know, it's good to get out and walk around and see what the place is about. But a lot of times we get into a city around 2 or 3 a.m. when it's pitch black, and we go to sleep, and then we wake up, and then we come, you know, down into the hotel lobby and do interviews all day, so we don't get to go wander around. And then we go right to the show, play the show, and then leave for the next city. So sometimes you really don't get a chance to see what a place is about. You know, you just have to wait till you have a day off in that city, and then you can... Well, richness actually could mean a few different things to me. Richness, I guess, could mean like fulfillment, you know. If you're rich with, you know, we've had a lot of success, whereas before we were frustrated before because, you know, we felt like we had good music to offer and a lot of people weren't playing it and no one really knew who we were. So now we're rich with the fact that we have had some success and that we've broken through to a lot of places that we never imagined, you know. And you know, rich can also mean money wise. You know, we're right now in America, this, the economy is bad. So a lot of people are having a real tough time. You know, people close to me, people in my family or people in families around me are out of work, that can't find jobs. And we're lucky enough that we're to do what we do, that we can make a living doing what we do. And also, you know, richness can mean food. You know, these Swiss chocolates I just got, these are very rich. So, well, that's a sad thing, because we recently played in South America, and we played in Rio, which is probably one of the most poverty-stricken places I've seen, because these people were literally living in, like, cardboard shacks along the sides of the highway. And it was sad to know that the government is in so much control that they have like 90% of the money and the people have like 10% of it. So poverty is a very unfortunate thing, you know. And it's just so, sometimes it's a strange feeling knowing that, you know, you can do well doing what you do and then some other people are less fortunate you know, are just born into poverty. So, well, I guess I don't think that happens too often anymore, because I think the divorce rate or separation rate of people in the States, probably over here too, is like 75% to 80% of couples split up. So I don't know if, I guess the only love you can really count on is family or your parents or whatever, you know. That's, I guess that's love forever, you know. The earth is another kind of sad thing to see what people have done to it in the last 100 years, because before that, you know, 100 years ago the first automobile was invented, and you know, they, people started burning coal and burning oil and putting all these fumes and chemicals into the atmosphere. So we're on a pretty quick, you know, rate of destroying this place. So it's nice to go to some places that are kind of untouched still, you know, to travel to places that are kind of unaffected by people.
Let's talk about music right now. Could you imagine to play most of your songs in an acoustic way?
Well, some of the songs we play acoustically, yeah, and we had talked about doing one of those MTV Unplugged type things, and we worked out a little medley of our songs acoustically, so I can picture them acoustically.
Is that a good way for you to play your song acoustically?
Well, it's fun, you know, to play, you know, after recording a record, after having rehearsed it so much, then recording a record and then playing on tour, you get a bit burnt out or tired of the same material all the time. So it's nice to, if you do it in a different way, it's a nice breath of fresh air, I guess, to play it in a different way.
A lot of satisfaction in your job?
Oh yeah, tremendous amount of satisfaction, you know, because, you know, just like they say, it really does only happen to 1 in a million people who really take this serious, you know. And to have had the success that we already have had, and to see the band growing, and to play to these audiences that are, you know, across the ocean in some faraway place, to know that these people know who we are and know the songs, it's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah. Are you a live band?
That's first and foremost what we've always been, you know. We started playing clubs together in Boston, and we played, you know, I'm sure we've played thousands of gigs together. So that's what we enjoy doing the most, and that's what we've done the most, you know. I like that more than being in the studio. That gets a bit tedious, gets a little boring.
Is there also sometimes a notion of power, but a good notion of power when you are on stage and when you see all that people is looking for you?
Yeah, I think when you walk on stage, you definitely have to have the, you gotta have in your head like you're gonna own the stage. You gotta walk out with the feeling of authority, you know. To, I think we, you know, it's definitely to have that many people screaming for you, singing your songs, it's got to give you some sort of feeling of power, I guess. Music is the power, you know. That's the that's what we share with them, and they share with us, the audience.
Are you two different person when you are playing on stage or just talking with me right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of us are. Pretty much in on our personal level, we're more laid back or, you know, quieter. But on stage, we I think that's when we let all the demons out, all the that side of us, you know, the that's when we let all our energy out, I think.
Can you remember the most important meeting you've done still now in your career?
Well, we've had several important ones that I think, you know, obviously meeting the rest of the guys in the band that are hooking up with each other is first the most important one, you know, because without the chemistry of the four of us, I don't think we would be what we are today, you know. And of course, some of the people along the way that, like our managers and record company people, that we wouldn't do what we do if it weren't for them.
When you began with your band, what was your spirit? What did you have in your mind? You wanted to become famous or first to play music together?
Well, of course, you always have the big goal of you want to be a big, successful, famous band. But to get there, you have to take a lot of small steps. So along the way, like the first thing you probably look for is to get a record contract. And then, you know, everything kind of falls into place after that. You know, if you work hard and have some luck, you know, it takes a lot of small goals to achieve the major goal. And we're still working our way up to that.
Things happen on a natural way for you?
For us, yeah, I think they do. They come pretty easily. You know, we've never had problems with material. You know, we've always had good songs, and as far as touring and stuff, we've had so much experience playing together that playing live comes naturally for us. So those are the most important things. And playing in the studio now, we know what we want when we go into the studio, and it's pretty quick. We can get it pretty quickly. You know, we made our record and only 3 months, whereas I hear stories of other bands taking a few years to make records, so I think they come pretty naturally.
Okay, last question. If I had opportunities to fulfill 3 wishes, what would those wishes be?
Wow, that's a pretty tough one. I guess the first one would be to be able to travel around the world and tour stadiums. That's like the ultimate goal, to be able to be popular enough to where we headline stadiums around the world. That's like, I guess, the biggest goal. And then to have a long career together. We don't want to be a band that only has a few records and then, you know, people don't hear from us again. We want to be able to keep making records and, you know, and then the third one would probably just to be happy in my personal life, you know, because this isn't all there is to life, you know, this is only part of what we do. And when I go home, sometimes I'd like to just put Extreme aside, because everywhere I go now, I'm a quarter member of Extreme, you know, and sometimes you just wish you could sweep it under the rug and just be a person for a day, you know, so that's probably my third wish.
Thank you.